Well, John chapter number 21, John chapter number 21, we left off last week, but the Lord Jesus Christ calling Peter back into the ministry. Peter had walked away, went out fishing. We remember that night that he spent, and all the disciples, those five other disciples, spent toiling all night long. Jesus comes out on the shore, tells them to cast the net to the right side, and they bring out 153 fish, teaching that if we do things in our own strength, we really can't accomplish much, but with God's power and God's help, we can accomplish great things. And last week, we asked that question that Jesus asked Peter three different times, "Lovest thou me?" And we asked that question to personally, how much do you love the Lord? What is that demonstration? We talk about different ways of loving the Lord. And we see here in this passage this morning, we're going to look in verses 18 through 22, and we're going to see the Lord calling Peter to follow him. And there's some interesting things in here, some things I think we can learn, some things I think we can take away. And once again, it is a personal message. We have a personal God who cares about you personally. And when we go over these points, we want you to ask these questions to yourself. Why? How does this apply to me and to my life? Let's look here in John chapter number 21, verse number 18. This is Jesus speaking to Peter after he's told him to feed his sheep or to call him into service. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, and thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Now, we might not understand exactly what he's talking about there, but in verse number 19, he gives us some commentary talking about the way that Peter was going to die. It says, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." Now, Peter was martyred for the cause of Christ. Jesus is telling him ahead of time, look, you're going to die for your belief in me. He's telling him up front. In verse number 19, he says, "And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." So the title of this morning's message is, "Follow thou me." You say, "Pastor, why do you put that word thou in there?" Well, let's keep on reading. It says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Now we know this is John, the writer here. And Peter, in verse 21, Peter says, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" In verse 22, the word of God says, "Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Now here's the thought here. Jesus has just called Peter into service. Jesus has just said, at some point in time in your life, your service for me is going to cost you your life. He turns around, and him and Jesus at this time must have went walking individually as he was calling him. He turns around, sees John. He says, "So what's going to happen to him?" You know what the Lord says to him? He says, "Don't worry about it." He says, "What is that to thee?" He says, "Follow thou." He's talking about him individually. "Follow thou me." And the main idea of the message this morning is, in spite of everything and everyone, I need to follow Jesus. Peter was really interested in what was going to go on with John. He was worried about the circumstances. Jesus says, none of that matters. All I want you to do, all I want you to focus on, is I want you to follow me. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I pray that you use your word today, Lord, and you use it powerfully in our lives. And Lord, that we individually look at our own lives and say, I need to follow Jesus. Lord, no matter whatever else is going on in someone else's life, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter where it leads us, no matter where it takes us, God, help us understand that we need to follow Jesus. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, have you ever tried to follow somebody? You're in one car, they're in one car, and they roll down their window and said, "Hey, why don't you just follow me? I'll take you there." I don't know about you, but I've tried following some people sometimes, and there's usually one or two things. One thing, they go so slow that you just say, "Man, I wish go right around them and you could lead the way." Or secondly, which is usually what happens, is the person you're following forgets that someone's following them and takes off. You ever follow somebody and they see a yellow light, and they forget that you're following them, and they take off and they go right through that yellow light, and you're stuck there. Am I supposed to go through the red light? Am I not supposed to go through the red light? And you're just sitting there, and you're just wondering. And usually you stop, and the other person goes, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. You ever try to follow somebody in traffic? That can be a really frustrating thing. Because many times the people know where they are going, and they think, oh, you should. And I follow people, and they go a little faster, and they drive, go speeding up, and I says, is that the car? Is that the one? Is that? And you lose track of it. You just don't know exactly where they're going. That's why I'm thankful for GPSs. You know, even somebody says, oh, just follow me. And no. Can you just give me the address? You give me the address, I'll meet you there. No, just follow. No, I just want the address. Please give me the address. Stories told about a pastor who one time flew over to New Jersey. He was going to speak in church that next day. He had some friends there. They took him to the house. They ate dinner together. And they told the pastor who was visiting and his wife, he says, here, you take our car back to the hotel, and it's got a GPS in it, and it will get you right there. And the pastor says, well, I don't know if I can really use your car. I've never used the GPS before. He says, oh, no. Here, we'll even give you this portable Garmin. And he says, he'll give it there. So he gets in the car, types in the address in both of them. He gets to the light. And at the light, the Garmin says, go left. The car says, go right. And the wife tells him to go straight. So can you imagine this? Because you know those GPSs, they're not made with men's voices usually. So he has three women telling him what to do. What could be more frustrating than that? But the good thing about it is, when it comes to following Jesus, we don't have to be looking at individuals. We look at God. We look at Jesus Christ. And he's given us his word to be our GPS. He's giving us his Holy Spirit to be our GPS. And this morning, you know what he's doing? He's telling us to do something. You know what he's telling us to do? He's saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. And you say, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? Well, I thought a little bit about this. And I following means going behind, going after. And to follow someone right, what do you have to do? You have to do exactly what they did. You know, if the person you're following in the car, they make a left and you decide to go straight, guess what? You're not really following them. So I wrote down some of these thoughts. Am I following Jesus? Am I doing what Jesus would have done? Did I live today the way Jesus would have lived? Am I living the way he lived his life? Am I saying the things that he would have said? If Jesus was in my circumstance, am I coming behind and going in the same direction he would have went? Because isn't that what following is? It's following after the person that's in front of you. And that's what Jesus is telling Peter. He said, look here, I want you to realize something. You're going to die for this cause, but I still want you to follow me. And even though Peter is interested in somebody else, he says, no, don't you worry about him. I want you to follow me. Three things I want you to think about here. And I want you to understand about our need, in spite of everything and everyone. I need to follow Jesus. First thing is, to follow Jesus, you have to look. Follow Jesus, you have to look. What do you mean? Well, it's kind of hard to follow a car if you're not looking, isn't it? If you're sitting there, you're looking at the radio, you're not, that person's going to take off. You're going to have any idea where he went. You're going to say, did they go that way? You got to look. You got to watch, right? And the Bible even tells us, he says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is no way you're going to be able to follow Jesus as he calls Peter to do, as he calls us all of us to do as his believers, unless we learn to look to him, unless we learn to watch him, unless we learn in his word what he would have done and what he is trying to do. We must learn to look. Not only do we need to look unto Jesus, but we don't need to look at others. Look unto Jesus, but look not in others. I like the little phrase here that he says in verse number 22. After Peter says, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come. I like that next phrase. make sure I get it right. What is that to thee? What's that matter to you? What is that to thee? Now look, Jesus even says, look, if I let him live till I return and tarry till I come, and he'd be able to go up in the rapture, what is that to thee? And I began thinking, once again, thinking can get you in trouble, but when it comes to biblical things, pondering and meditation is something you're supposed to do. And I began to start thinking about, what is that to thee? And I began to think, he says, you follow me. He says, follow thou me. So you think about it. Now, you go around and you say, well, I can't serve God. I can't follow God because maybe I don't have as many talents as Mr. Jim. Mr. Jim could sing. You know what? He'd go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't follow you. You didn't give me the talents that Mr. Jim has. What is that to thee? What does that have anything to do with my personal relationship with you and me? He says, that's Mr. Jim. What is that to thee? He says, I want you to follow me. You might go around and say, well, my husband isn't as good as Amy Pease's husband. No amen. But you say, my husband's not as good as somebody else's husband. I can't follow, or my wife doesn't support me like somebody. And you know, the question the Lord is saying, and God is saying, is what is that to thee? What does that have anything to do with the personal relationship that I have with you and my call on your life to follow after me? I might not have it. You might not have as much money as Miss Karen does. You know, Miss Karen has tons of money, right? I don't know. But you might not have as much money as Miss Karen does. You say, well, because someone else has more money than I do. Maybe we should use Miss Patty because, you know, KFC pays big bucks, right? She's looking for managers too, okay? What I don't have as much money as them. I can't serve. I can't do as much as they do. So what is that to thee? And what does that have to do with anything when it comes to the personal relationship I have with you and my call for you? Follow thou me. I don't care if you don't have the talents. I don't care if you don't have the different mate that you wish or have the money that you have. Or you can even look at Mr. Don there. You might not be as good looking as Mr. Don is. And you say, I don't look as good as Mr. Don does. And I can't follow him. It's much easier for him. No. That's Mr. Don's lot. That's what God's given to Mr. Don. That's not what God maybe has given to me or given to you. You know what it's saying? He says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Christian, today, if you're saved and on your way to heaven today, I don't know what type of excuse you might choose to use. Peter's turning around and look, he's got his eyes on John there for a second. Jesus said, follow me. He says, well, what is this man to do? He said, well, that's just normal. He says, that's just normal interest. No. Our eyes are not supposed to be focused on what someone else can do. Our eyes are not focused on what someone else's riches can be or someone else's situation could be. Our eyes are supposed to be focused on who? Jesus. So to be able to follow Jesus, you have to look. But you don't have to look at others. You have to look at him. Another thing I want you to think is not only look at Jesus, but look not on people, but look not on your circumstances. And I know, I'm not trying to minimize things here because I know some of you are going through some really tough times, really hard times. But you think about Peter's circumstances. What did Jesus just tell him? Jesus said, you're going to die if you follow after me. But guess what? I still want you to follow after me. And he even goes there, he rebukes him and says, look, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And the circumstances there are tough for him. He's going to have to give his life up. But it made me start thinking, the day and time that we live in. And we like to whine and we like to complain. No one can get saved. Things are too hard. Things are too tough. Government's getting bad. Government's getting wrong. I wonder what the first century Christians could do in America today. Okay. And you think about the Roman government that they lived under in the Roman century country. What did they do to them? They killed them. They died. They persecuted them. They threw them in with the lions. They burned them at the stake. I wonder what Peter and Paul could do today with the spiritual liberty and the spiritual freedom that they have. And that we have here today. I mean, thank goodness we are built on a Christian nation. Thank goodness that God was the center at the beginning. I know it's getting away from that, but that's the culture. But what is it that to thee? What does that have to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Follow thou me. So here's the question is, who are you supposed to look to? When you're following, you're supposed to look unto Jesus. Not looking at others, not looking at the circumstances. Because if you look at the circumstances, you might start feeling bad for yourself. Yep. Peter, he gets hurt, he was going to die. And Jesus said, follow me. And he was just interested in something. Jesus says, no. What is that to thee? Look, I've given you a call to do. Follow me. Second thing, not only do you need to look, second thing you need to do is to follow Jesus, you have to learn. You have to learn. I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to teach somebody something that they already thought they knew how to do it? You ever try to show somebody how to do something and they thought they already got it all figured out? You know what you got to do with that person? Sometimes you just got to step back and say, have at it. And after you let them have at it and they make a real mess of everything, you turn around and say, now can I show you how I want you to do it in the first place? Isn't that what God does? God tells us in his word how he wants us to do it. And yeah, oh, no, Lord, you don't know everything. You don't know all the circumstances. This is the way I got to live. This. And after we make a royal mess of things and God puts us on our back, he comes up and says, now, are you willing to listen to me? It's sort of like if I asked Mr. Norris back there, if I asked him to teach me how to fix something on a car. I don't know how to do anything with a car. I don't know how to fix a car. I don't know much about it. And if I asked Mr. Norris, hey, can you help me teach me how to change my oil? And if I look and watch Mr. Norris do it, and I don't learn anything, do I have anything better? Have I learned anything? See, there's a difference between just looking and learning. See, we can look at Jesus. We can look in his word. We can be introduced things. We can be shown things. We can be preached at. We can go to Sunday school class and go to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we can look at the Savior. We can say, oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he great? But that's not just enough. We need to learn the things that we're looking at. Say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible even goes as far as saying in Matthew 11, 28, 29, says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Where's that little phrase? Learn of me. What he's trying to teach him, what he's trying to show him, he says, look, yes, you're supposed to look. You're supposed to watch me. You're supposed to know which way to go. But now you're supposed to learn something. As you go and somebody teaches you and shows you something, you're supposed to learn how to do it. Because if you don't learn how to do it, if you don't learn how to follow, guess what? It ain't going to help you at all. So not only are we need to look, but we need to learn. You say, Pastor, what am I supposed to learn from Jesus Christ? Man, there's so much we can learn. Take your Bible to go to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. So many times in our life when we tell somebody that we're going to follow them, we think we know a shortcut and we try to do an easier way. And we don't follow what they're doing. And we think we know what's best. You can never go wrong with looking at Jesus and learning from him also. First thing I want you to learn is what we need to learn of Christ is we need to learn the mind of Christ. Not only do we need to look, we need to learn, and we need to learn the mind of Christ. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. Let's read this all together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, what it says in verse number 5, it says, let this mind, what mind? The mind of Christ Jesus be in you. So that means that we can learn of Christ and have the mind of Christ. So we need to learn the mind of Christ. What does that mean? We need to learn to think like him. If we're going to follow somebody, if we're going to be doing the same things that they're going to be doing, we're going to be headed in the same paths that they're headed, doing the same reactions that he would do, we need to learn the mind of Christ. And so not only do we need to look, we need to learn. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look, there's some descriptions here about the humility that's needed to have the mind of Christ. Who being in the form of God, he was God, thought it not robbery. He didn't think it was too much to ask to be equal with God. But made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You read those three verses, isn't there something we can learn from him? Isn't there something that we can be taught about him? We're taught about his humility. We're talking about his service. We're taught about his obedience. That's the mind of Christ. And that's the mind you can have. You say, Pastor, I can't act like Jesus. I can't do things the way he would do it. I can't show. You can, but we need to learn. We just don't need to look. We need to take what we've seen. We need to take what we've observed, and we need to learn from it. And as we learn this, we need to learn the humility of Christ. We need to learn the obedience of Christ. What does it say? He became obedient. Not only did he become obedient, he became obedient unto the death of the cross. We see what he was willing to do. So Christian, today, not only do we need to look, we need to learn. We need to learn about the mind of Christ. The next thing we need to learn about is not only the mind of Christ, we need to learn about the service of Christ. The service of Christ. Go back to John once again, John chapter 21. If we're going to follow him, if we're going to do things the way he did it, are we going to have to serve like him? I mean, if the idea of following Jesus means us doing things that he would do in our place, if Jesus wasn't here, then if Jesus was here, he was going to do this, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to think like him. I'm going to act like him. I'm going to do the things that he would have done. Then you're going to have to serve like him too. Think about it. It says, learn the service of Christ. John 13:15. He says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. See, where in the world is in the Bible does it tell you that I'm supposed to serve the way that Jesus does? It says it right there. After Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, the master washing the servants' feet, he says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. He said, I don't want to wash somebody's feet. I don't want to serve the way he did. He was too kind. He loved everybody. He worked so hard. He gave up so much. See, this is what following him is. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that, hey, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Are we really following after him? Have we really been looking to him and looking unto him, not looking at people and the circumstances, but looking unto him as we look to him, as we see him in his word, and as the Holy Spirit teaches us, are we learning him? And are we learning the mind of Christ? And are we learning the service of Christ? Are we really willing to take someone who is inferior, that we're the boss of, and be willing to serve them? Are we really servant leaders? Third thing, not only do we need to learn of the mind of Christ and service of Christ, but we need to learn about the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Pastor, Jesus loved everybody. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Well, you know what? The earmark, or the thing that says that's a disciple of Jesus Christ, isn't how much money you give. Isn't how many hours you work. Isn't even the type of church you go to. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And what's that next phrase? If ye have love one to another. The way people are going to turn around and say, that's a disciple of Jesus Christ, is because of the way they treat one another, the love they have. But he messed around. He loved those that were sinners. He loved those that were publicans, even taxmen. He loved, you know, if we're going to follow after Christ, isn't that who we're going to have to love? If we're really going to make the decisions that Jesus made and go the way Jesus was going to go, aren't we going to have to love others and see his compassion? When we come to follow him, we see him there working and caring for others, dying for others, serving others. No, he was above all them to begin with. And compared to us, he was so much more. Why do we compare ourselves and say that they don't deserve it? Jesus didn't do that. And if we're going to follow after him, isn't that the example we're supposed to have? So not only are we supposed to look at him and not others in other circumstances, we're supposed to learn. You can actually have the mind of Christ. You say, that sounds... No, it's not strange. You can actually think like him in his word. He teaches us. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And as you see him and understand him, you can become like him. Not only the mind of Christ, you can serve the way he served. Is it going to be easy? No. You had to not think of yourself and think of others first. You had to learn of the love of Christ. You got to learn that he came and died for each and every person. Last thing I want you to think about. Not only do you have to look, not only do you have to learn, but you have to be willing to let some things go. To follow Jesus Christ, you have to be willing to let some things go. You know, one of the things that if somebody's trying to teach you to do something a new way, you know, sometimes there's these new things. You ever try to help your kids with math? I mean, sometimes math can be difficult for the, you know, we were taught one way a long time ago, and now your kids come home and says, no, mom, no, dad, there's a new way. Well, I don't know what was wrong with the old way, but there's a new way. And the only way you're going to be able to help your kids is by doing what? Letting go of the old way and learning the new way. If you're really going to want to follow after Jesus Christ, if you really are going to listen to what Jesus is telling Peter, look, don't worry about John. Don't worry about having to die. Don't worry about anything else. I want you to follow me. Follow thou me. If that's what you want, you're going to have to be willing to let some things go. First thing you have to be willing to let go is of your own ideas and wisdom. Your own ideas of wisdom. You know what? Our own thinking gets us in trouble. If everything you are doing in your life today makes sense to you, you are probably not doing everything God wants you to do. I want you to think about that. And it's not a joke. If everything you are doing in your life today makes sense to you, you are probably not doing everything God wants you to do. What do you mean? Well, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are different than our ways. And if we in our own wisdom and in our own mindset are doing everything the way that we think we should, more than likely, you're not doing everything God wants you to do. You're not doing everything. Because we got to learn. If we're going to follow after Jesus, we're going to have to let go of our own wisdom. We're going to have to let go of our own thinking and go to His wisdom and go to His thinking. We're going to have to let go of those past prejudices. We're going to have to let go of those past issues and thoughts that we have. And you know what? Follow after Him. The Bible says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Every way of the man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. You know, here's the idea here, is if you're going to keep on trying to live the way yourself tells you, when your heart is deceitful and wicked, when your fleshly nature keeps on telling you to go one way, you're going to have to be willing to let go of that worldly wisdom. You're going to have to be willing to let go of your own thoughts and your own ideas and say, what is it that the Bible says? What is it that God says? Because if I want to follow Jesus, I can't do what I want. Because when that person treated me wrong and that person treated me bad, I wanted to get back at them. That's my wisdom. That's my ideas. But God says, forgive them. So I'm going to have to let go of this idea of me keeping everything for myself, me doing everything for myself, and instead I'm going to have to do it the way God wants me to. Because isn't that following? Isn't that leading after Jesus Christ, following after Him? It's not thinking our own ways. It's not doing things the way we want them to do. Instead, we're going to have to get rid of those, oh, Pastor, I don't understand why. What does the Lord say? What is the Lord's way? Well, why does God send people to hell? Well, you know what? The Bible teaches you that. Learn and understand the Bible. You see the love of God that He sent the Son down to die for us, to give us a way to go to heaven, and the love that's there. But, you know, in our own thoughts, well, I don't think this. You know what? It doesn't matter what we think. You can think it of all your heart and all your mind, and if it's not truth, it's still not going to be truth. Nothing's going to change God's thoughts and God's mind. Something else you need to let go of. You need to let go of fears. You need to let go of fears. If you're really going to follow after Jesus Christ, you have to learn to let go of your own mind, your own idea, your own thinking, way of life. You have to let go of fears. You were talking about following. You ever seen those rope bridges? Those ones that are really, really shaky? And you're taking somebody on a path, and you're going maybe hiking or something like that, and they're on this bridge, and maybe down there's a big stream or a valley or canyon, and it's like hundreds of feet down. And you know, certain people, that don't bother. Certain people get to go right through that, not even thinking about it. And if you're following somebody like that, you're going, and when you get to the rope, the bridge doesn't look steady enough. He's like, I ain't going over there. But if you're following after the person that's got no problems and is heading down there, if you're really going to have to follow after Him, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to cross the bridge. But it's shaky. It's tough. It's hard. And maybe you've been the one that's maybe been rock climbing, or you've been the one that's hiking, and you're like, come on, you can do it. Come on, look, it held me. Look, and you're trying to convince them. Come on, it's not a big deal. It's not that bad. You can do it. Just keep your eyes on me and don't look down. That's what Jesus is telling us. In our Christian life, He wants us to follow Him. And there are times in our life where things are nervous, things are scary. There are things like witnessing to others, having to be compassionate to others, treating people the way that Jesus would treat them. And you're like, I can't do that. That's too hard. That's too tough. And He's saying, look, don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at anything else. You just follow me. You keep your eyes on me. If you keep your eyes on me, don't look down. Don't look around. Keep your eyes on me. And you can make it through. Third thing I want you to think of, not only do we have to let go of our own wisdom, let go of our own fears, is that we need to let go we need to let go of our personal desires. Our personal desires. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. Say, Pastor, what do you mean your personal desires? Well, the way that when we were saved, if you're a Christian here, you're a believer, Jesus Christ saved your soul, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. But in outside of you, your flesh is still the old nature. You have to deal with it. And your flesh is going to do whatever it can to try to get you to go against the spiritual things. Your flesh is going to tell you, no, don't go that way. It's okay to look at that. It's okay to do this. But your spirit is telling you, stop, don't do that anymore. The Spirit of God teaches us, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That we're going to have to deny some of our own desires in order to follow after Jesus. We're going to have to stop doing certain things. We're going to have to stop doing the things of the flesh. We're going to have to stop doing the lying and the cheating and the stealing and the nasty thoughts and the way we treat others. We're going to have to stop watching things we shouldn't watch and listen to things we shouldn't watch. And there are certain ways that maybe we shouldn't dress. And there are certain things that we shouldn't say. Why is that? Because we're not following after this world. We're following after Jesus. And he wouldn't do things like that. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing, is what he's doing. So there are certain things that I'm going to let go of those personal desires. Pastor, those are things I like to do. That's right, because they please your flesh. But when you're talking about the things of God, if you really want to follow after him, you got to let it go. So, in conclusion, first of all, you might say, why in the world would I want to follow Jesus? And if you had that question, it's probably because of the fact that you've never been saved. If you're here this morning, and if you're not sure if you died today that you would go to heaven, the Bible teaches us that all men are sinners. And that's women too. Men and women are sinners. Boys and girls. We've all done something wrong. And because of our sin, we have to spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. But God loved us so much and saw our need, he sent his son down to the cross to pay our sin debt for us. He bled, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he paid our penalty for us. And because of what he did for us, because of his love for us, we should be interested in following him. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd be saying, what that pastor talked about today, following, looking, and learning, and letting things go, I don't see the point of that. But if you've been redeemed, if you have had your soul bought back, and you're on your way to heaven, and you understand what that means, you won't have a problem following after him because of what he's done for you. So in just a few minutes, we're going to have what we call an invitation. And the invitation is a time when we ask people, if God's spoken to their heart, to come forward and talk to God around this altar. But if you're unsaved, you're not sure that you want to go to heaven, but you want to learn more about it, we ask that you come forward. And if you're a man, we'll have a man talk to you. If you have a woman, we'll have a woman talk to you. What they'll do is they'll take you into the back, to a back room, and teach you from the Bible how you can be saved and know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you could go to heaven when you die. So I want to encourage you, make that decision this morning. Don't worry about following him until you know him personally. Second thing, for those that are Christians today, here's the question. Do you really follow him? Listen to what we read earlier. Am I following Jesus? Am I doing what Jesus would have done? Am I living the way he would have lived? Am I saying the things that he would have said? If Jesus was in my circumstance, am I coming behind and going in the same direction he would have? Those are the questions. Are you following him today? Here, let's put it a little simpler. If you have your eyes on something different than Jesus today, get it fixed. If you've been looking at other people and you've been looking at other things and your circumstances instead of following after him, repent of it. Turn to him. Get your eyes focused on him. And while you're there, you say, okay, Pastor, I'm there. I'm looking at him. Have you been learning? Because I believe many of us have a good, clear vision of who Jesus is. But have you learned of it? Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you think like he does? Do you have the service of the Lord on your heart? Do you want to serve others? Do you want to serve people like that? Do you love him? Love people the way he does, because those are things he wants you to learn about him. Because if you don't do those things, there's something wrong. That's the way he wants it. I know it's a higher walk, it's a higher calling, but that's what Jesus is saying. I want you. Now, don't look at anybody else. Pretend that Jesus is speaking to you, and he's saying, follow thou me. That's you and you yourself. No matter what anyone else or anything else happens, I need to follow Jesus. So individually, if Jesus is saying to you, as a believer, as a Christian, someone he's died for, I want you to follow me. Have you learned his wisdom? Have you learned of him? Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you have the service of Christ in your heart? Do you have the love of Christ? And if not, I challenge you. Look at some things. Because there are some things that you need to let go then. Because there's some things that you need to let go. And probably the thing that's the biggest thing in your mind is your thoughts and your ideas about what you think is right and what you think is best. Because that's what the world has put to you today. The world has keep on saying, you don't need to do this, you need to... We're not talking about the world. We're not talking about people. We're not talking about circumstances. We're talking about Jesus Christ telling you, follow thou me. You need to get rid of those own ideas, your own thoughts, and look what the Bible says. Or maybe you need to let go of some fears. If I follow after God, Jesus, I don't know what it's going to cost me. Jesus told Peter it's going to cost him his life. He says, I still want you to follow me. And last but not least, there might be some things that personal desires you have to let go. I can't follow Jesus because of football. How stupid does that sound? But you put that football name in there for whatever thing that's stopping you from serving Jesus. I can't serve Jesus because my family, because of my hobby, because of my friends, because of my job. In comparison to Jesus, he's saying, look, no, don't look at anything else. I want to ask this question. Are you following him? He says, follow thou me. Today, are you following Jesus Christ? And if not, let me encourage you. Get it right. Because following him is the best thing you will ever do in your entire life. Following him means that it's going to take you to the right spot, in the right time, and in the right way. Because when you can follow someone, it can be a chore sometimes. But if the person's doing what they're supposed to do, you're going to end up where you're supposed to be. And that's what Jesus is going to take you, where you're supposed to be. Let's go ahead and pray.